Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. Welcome to all. Thank you, Brother Lewis, for those words. My heart was very stirred by that. I had considered a sermon down those lines, considering the significance of this week, somewhere around 2,000 years ago in human history. Probably some of the most significant events, or the most significant events that have ever happened on this earth. It's a beautiful story, and I appreciated being reminded of that. On this day, a little before the crucifixion and the account that Lewis mentioned, on this day our dear Lord found a donkey, a young donkey, and sat on him and rode into Jerusalem, and the people tore off their clothes and the palm branches and strewed them in the way and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Most High." And some complained about it. "Make them be quiet." And Jesus said, "If they'd be quiet, then would the very rocks cry out." Let's rise to our feet again and pray. Our precious Father, our Lord and our Savior, we stand in awe of you this morning. And Father, as our brother shared the suffering and the deep love that you had for us to cause you to go through that for our souls while we were yet wretched sinners, Father, our hearts just are overwhelmed with gratitude. Thank you for shedding that blood. Thank you, Father, for redeeming us from sin, from iniquity, from condemnation, and adopting us as your children. Father, thank you so much for being our King. You're truly an awesome King, and we're blessed to be your children. Father, this morning we ask that you break the bread of life to us. Father, we pray that you speak to us, that your Spirit would be here and bring to my mind and to my lips the things that I should say this morning, Father. And we pray that you help us to hear the word and receive it with joy, Father. We pray that you would establish us and strengthen us and settle us. Father, I think of those who are about to seal their commitment with baptism next Sunday. Father, I pray that not one of them would fall by the wayside. Lord, that maybe the words that are spoken this morning would be of help to them in the future, Father. We just pray that you speak to us, bless us, and break your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. I chose two accounts this morning in the Old Testament as a backdrop for our subject this morning, and I'll read both of them to you. You may turn there and watch, read along with me. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. "And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes." I'm going to back up and start in verse 8. Verse 8. "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work and have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So he sent them to go inquire. And verse 19. Because thine heart, 18, but to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, also I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes with all their heart, and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So first account, turn now to Jeremiah 36. So we want to read a very different story here, both, again, as simply a backdrop to the word this morning. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, now notice, this was son of Josiah, the king we just read about, the account we just read about. This is his son. This word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of all the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nathaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, that he would not hear them. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdiel, to take Barak the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, "Take thee another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned." And I think we'll end there. What strikes you with these two accounts? A response to the Word of God. What did I hear? Something else? One feared, the other one didn't. One had a tender heart, the other one had a hard heart. Irreverence towards the things of God. Reverence and irreverence compared. The title for the message this morning is Swift to Hear. And I chose these two stories because we see beautifully illustrated in the first story a man who was swift to hear. A man who truly demonstrated what James meant. We'll turn there shortly when he said, "Be swift to hear." Josiah demonstrated that in the way that the book was found. He'd been lost for some time. Seems like he may have been by himself with the one who read it. And without any pressure, without any others being fearful or scared, he heard those words, and he really heard them. He was swift to hear. In the second account, we saw this man's son, same gene pool, do the exact opposite. Where Josiah demonstrated swiftness to hear and a tender heart and a love of the truth, Jehoiakim demonstrated a hard heart, disregard for the truth, and no willingness to hear. And as we go through the message, I want these stories to be our backdrop as we look at the contrast and as we endeavor to look at swiftness to hear. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, we have this short little phrase, "Be swift to hear." Verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." In verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Most of the time when we're instructed to do something, it's because we don't really do it naturally. We don't tend towards doing it naturally. And I would like to lift up this morning swiftness to hear. I would like to look at what it is, what it looks like, why we should do it, what it does for us, why we tend not to do it, and then some things we can do to cultivate this attitude and attribute in our lives. And as I think of those who are young believers among us, young Christians, there's many things that we could say to you before you get baptized and when you get baptized and after you get baptized, and the death of Christ and the power of that, of the blood of Jesus, the power of the resurrection, all those things, they're beautiful and they're important. They're the most important things you can remember. But sometimes we forget some of these things. Sometimes some of these important truths become rusty in our minds. And if we've not cultivated a swiftness to hear, how are they going to come back? How will we be reminded of that which we've forgotten? How will we be woken up to truths that have grown old that we've let slip? Swiftness to hear, brothers and sisters, is an important part of our lives. Eagerness, willingness to hear the Word of God. We've all watched people. I've watched people who either regarded or disregarded this instruction, and the end of their paths is dramatically different. I think we can all think of people like that. Some who we know we've seen them be swift to hear. We've seen them bow their will. We've seen them be tender to the working of God in their heart and their conscience. We've seen them at the altar. We've seen them submit themselves to direction, swift to hear. And we see where they are. As in the recent past, I'm going to mention one among us who's done that, who's demonstrated that, and became more aware of how many places this has happened in his life. But our brother Levi has demonstrated this very well. And he's shared numerous times of accounts where he couldn't see it, and yet he was swift to hear. He could not see the concern or the instruction that was being brought to him. He didn't see the value of it, and yet he was swift to hear. And today, he's our pastor. We've seen others, all of us have, some from among us, who have not done so, who've hardened their heart, who've, as they did with Stephen, stopped their ears, who are today lost, completely lost. It can make the difference between eternal life or eternal death. And we've probably all watched, I've watched men go from being like Josiah in the first account to this same person a few years later being very much like Jehoiakim. From being swift to hear with a tender heart to hardening it. It doesn't take that long till we have a Jehoiakim. But bless God, we've seen it go the other way, too. We've seen men who have had hardened hearts slowly open it, slowly soften it, and slowly open their ears to the work of God and the voice of God and the truth of God in their hearts. It's a beautiful thing when that happens, when men go from being a Jehoiakim to a Josiah. Be swift to hear. What does it mean? And I'll take the liberty to state the obvious here. Obviously, it does not mean to be swift to hear any sound there is to hear, any noise that comes down the pipe or out of the tube. We know that. The Scripture teaches plainly that there's things we shut our ears to. There's things we flee from. I don't think it's necessary to mention, but of course not. Unclean speech, slander, gossip, worldly wisdom, even the accusing voice of the enemy, the condemning voice of the accuser, things we ought not to bend our ear to, things we ought not to incline our ear to, things we ought to shut our ears to. We all know there's things like that. But James means something when he says to be swift to hear. And I believe James is telling us to just be swift to hear the voice of God, the truth of God. In whatever way, whatever form it comes to us, whether that be through His Word, the written Word, through His Spirit, through our conscience, through church authorities or parents, through brothers and sisters, through a burning bush, or through a donkey. Be swift to hear when God is speaking. It's a beautiful thing. Would to God that all of us would be able to discern when God speaks and then say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I have a few points about godly hearing. What it is, why it's important. A few points on hearing, and then I'd like to go on and look at a few reasons we find it hard to be swift to hear. And then in the end, I would like to look at some things we can cultivate in our lives that helps us to be swift to hear. So a few points on hearing. Why is hearing so important? Why is being swift to hear so important? Why is it? Why do we see the tremendous difference between Josiah and Jehoiakim? One heard, the other didn't. Hearing is important because faith comes by hearing. Hearing is important because salvation comes by hearing. Sanctification comes by hearing. Healing comes by hearing. Conviction comes by hearing. Strength and encouragement comes by hearing. There's so many things that come to us by hearing. And when I say hear, I'm not only speaking of the physical ears. That very much is included in the hearing part. We'll look at that. But also hearing, being sensitive to the voice of the Spirit in our spiritual ears. The voice of God in our spiritual lives. A physical hearing and a spiritual hearing. Hearing is so important because by hearing comes life. You think on these things sometime. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing is important because hearing allows those who watch over our souls to guide us. They cannot do so if we cannot hear. Hebrew writer said that we have many more things to say unto you, but they're hard to be uttered. Why? Because your ears are dull of hearing. Found it hard to give the direction to those that he was seeking to guide because they were dull of hearing. Another time, Paul rejoiced. I think it's in Thessalonians. Paul rejoiced because he said, "You received our word, what we said. You received it not as the word of man, but as it was in truth the word of God." He commended them for receiving what he shared as it was in truth the word of God, for being able to discern and hear that this is the voice of God. This is the truth of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it." He also said, "My mother and my brethren are those which hear the word of God and do it." Swift to hear the word of God. Hearing comes first. Before faith, before salvation, before sanctification, we've heard, we've understood, we've received something. Hearing is important. Be swift to hear, brothers and sisters. Second point is hearing includes discernment. Hearing, this kind of hearing, this kind of swiftness to hear is not without discernment. And this discernment will vary with our age, but there's ways we can be helped with that. Is what I'm hearing according to the engrafted word of God? Is it God's wisdom and word? You know, the person that James is speaking of who is swift to hear is not one that's blown about by every wind that comes this way and that way. He's not swayed by every wind of doctrine. He's not blown about. He's solid. Hearing includes discernment. One principle is that God never contradicts himself. All of the means and ways with which God speaks to us all agree one with another. When they don't, somewhere something's wrong. God never contradicts himself. God's voice is never contradicting. If what we hear either from our own heart or from someone else, or even what we seem to be reading in the Word of God, if it does not match up and fit with what the rest of the Word of God says. God does not contradict Himself. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Somewhere we're not hearing something right. Hearing includes discernment. And as we think of being swift to hear, it falls that there are places and people and sources of this voice that our guards will be higher and other places where they should be lower, where our hearts should be more open. And we'll, for example, in a church service where you know the brothers and sisters who are there, you know the brother's life who's preaching, your heart should be far more open than as you listen to the preacher on Christian radio, which we don't do. Right? It should still not be without thinking. The Jews in Thessalonica were more noble. The Bereans were more noble because they heard it, received it gladly, and then they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. I don't know that we ever don't think. But there are places where our guards ought to be higher, and there are places where our guards ought to be low. Our ears should be especially swift to hear from anyone who God has put in authority in our lives. Swift to hear. God intends for these people to speak His word to our hearts. He made it that way. Our ears should be especially swift to hear our faithful brothers and sisters. God intends for these people to speak into our lives. Our ears should be very swift to hear the pricking of our conscience when the word is being preached. Now, I know sometimes we've dealt with oversensitive consciences. We have to have discernment even here. But our ears need to be swift to hear. Sometimes we need help with discernment. When our ears are swift to hear and we hear, sometimes we need someone to help us with our discernment. Is this what I'm feeling, what I'm hearing? Is this the Word of God? Is this the voice of God? Or is this not? I remember years ago, maybe 13, 14 years ago somewhere, I remember I was a young Christian and I was being faithful with my quiet time and reading and found it mostly encouraging. But one evening I was discouraged already and my reading fell in Hebrews chapter 6. And my heart got so overwhelmed and condemned in reading through those verses about the soul that turns back and how it's impossible to renew him again to repentance. And somehow I ended up in 2 Peter, where I read about the false prophets and how that it had been better for them to never have heard than to have heard and end up the way they are now. Somehow both of them just seemed to be describing me to the T that night. My heart was open. I was swift to hear, but I needed some help with discernment. Sometimes we need help with discernment. That night, I was too miserable to sleep, so I went and talked with Dad. And he took me on. In the same chapter of Hebrews said, "But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, though we thus speak." And he asked me if I think I'm a false prophet. And all of a sudden, I needed to be swift to hear. I needed to hear those things, and I needed help with my discernment. Others can help us with our discernment. Hearing includes discernment, but it does include discernment. The Scripture says, "Believe not every spirit." Third point on hearing. Hearing must be mixed with faith. Hearing must be mixed with faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Brothers and sisters, hearing the gospel without faith will not save us. It will do nothing for us. Hearing a reproof without faith will merely discourage us. Hearing instruction without faith may well discourage us. Simon the sorcerer, I believe, demonstrates very well the hearing without faith. Paul rebuked him very sharply. And if Simon had heard with faith and had had a godly sorrow, by the way, faith is what determines when we are rebuked, whether we have godly sorrow that worketh repentance or the sorrow of the world that worketh death. But Simon the sorcerer, instead of repenting, instead of dealing with the issues at hand, he heard it, but he didn't mix it with faith. And all he knew to do was to say, pray for me that none of these things that you've said come on me. We don't read of repentance with Simon the sorcerer. He demonstrated a hearing without faith. Faith helps us to hear, and faith puts it to action, moves us to action what we've heard. Faith gives us that hope, that future. And faith tells us that while the reproof was brought, that by the grace of God, that can be changed in our lives. Hearing must be mixed with faith. Being swift to hear, but hear in faith. And that brings us to the fourth point. Hearing includes doing. Hearing includes doing. We see it in James. Be swift to hear. But then he goes on and says, if you only hear and you don't do, your faith is vain. You deceive yourselves. Sometimes we feel like we're hearing just because we didn't get upset with the word of God or the messenger, however it came to us. Sometimes we feel we've heard because we've responded in our hearts to the thing that God laid on our hearts while we were reading the word or while the sermon was being preached. We've responded in that we've not kicked it aside as we used to do, but you know, we just said, yes, Lord, I see it. And yet we don't act upon it. If we're given direction, if we're given instruction and we say, yes, yes, but nothing changes, have we really heard? Hearing includes doing. So 4 points. Hearing is important. Hearing includes discernment. Hearing must be mixed with faith. And hearing includes doing. This kind of swiftness to hear includes doing. So I would like to look at why it is often so hard. Why is it often so hard? Call out a few. Why is it so hard often to hear? By whatever means, whether it be the spirit, the conscience, the word, the brother, authority. A messenger is not usually perfect. Good. Pride. Think. My step on our toes. Hard to flesh. Yes, very hard for the flesh to hear that way. Those are all some that we have here in one form or another. Why is hearing so often hard? And number one, I think we just need to deal with it right away. One reason is that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And we're all stuck with a natural man still. We're all stuck with a carnal man that we have to contend with. Though there's a new man, we've not been delivered from the body of this death. Says that the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Our natural man will not like to hear, will not automatically hear, will not easily hear the things of God. In fact, it cannot understand them. He thinks it's foolishness. The carnal man, the flesh. And yet the spiritual man will receive those things. So one reason is the natural man can't hear the things of the Spirit of God. Reason two that I have here, and we don't have all of them, is that the truth of God is always contrary to the flesh. The carnal flesh. If we're truth lovers, we'll be able to hear. We'll be able to be swift to hear. But if we're flesh lovers, or world lovers, or self lovers, our ears will be dull. Do we love truth and our dear Lord more? Or do we love self more? Is there something we love more? This is this dullness that other loves brings to our hearing, I think, is very well illustrated with Balaam. If you think of Balaam, and he inquired of God and God answered him, should have been the end of the story. If he had been swift to hear, it would have been the end of the story. He may not even have needed to inquire of God in the first place. But for sure, after he inquired of God, if Balaam had been swift to hear, he would not needed to get his foot crushed and have a temper tantrum and and the things that he had. But he had this love for the wages of unrighteousness that was higher than his love for God and for the truth. Do we have the love of the truth? And so he heard it. He asked again. And he asked again. And finally, it took his donkey talking to him. And that didn't even cut it. It took his eyes being open to the angel with the sword in front of him. So much were his ears waxed gross and dull of hearing, because he loved other things more than he loved the truth. The truth of God is contrary to our fleshly desires. Number three, why is it so difficult? Hearing the truth is often painful. There are beautiful truths that are refreshing to hear. We normally don't struggle too much with those. They're just as true as the painful ones. But often, truth is painful. And when Jehoiakim sat there and cut out pages of that book and threw them in the fire, what do you think his motives were? The message was not pleasant. The message was painful. The message spoke ill of him. It also crossed his own way, but it was painful to hear. When Ahab came home and he had spared Ben-Hadad, Elijah reproved him, rebuked him. The word of the Lord came to him. And instead of being swift to hear, Ahab heard it, but he went to his house heavy and displeased. Truth is often painful to hear. Later, when Elijah reproved Ahab again, he was moved to some repentance. We see that in Kings. But then soon after that, what does he do? He removes himself from the prophets that spoke ill of him, distances himself from those that prophesied evil of him, that spoke the word of the Lord to him, and surrounded himself with other men that spoke comfortably. And we see how that he went out to fight. When Micaiah prophesied truth, the other prophets spoke well of him, and he chose to hear the other prophets. So we do that too sometimes, because truth is painful. Sometimes we get heavy and displeased. Sometimes we are brought to some form of repentance. But if we're not swift to hear, often we tend to push away these messengers of uncomfortable truth and surround ourselves with people that speak comfortably to us. It's not swift to hear. That's slowness of hearing. If Ahab had turned his heart towards Elijah and Micaiah, he would have been spared that death by the arrow shot at random. He would have been spared the wickedness and the painful end. Hearing the truth was also painful for David. When Nathan came and told him that story that made David's hair stand on end, he was upset at this man that took the other man's lamb. And then Nathan says, "Thou art the man." Now, it's not easy to go from being upset at someone else to being upset at yourself. This had to be painful for David. It doesn't seem like he had a clue that Nathan was doing what he was doing and was about to say, "Thou art the man." And yet, David was swift to hear. It didn't take him any time. He said, I've sinned. David was swift to hear in spite of the painfulness. And it can be painful for us. Often it is painful for us. Sometimes it's a fault we weren't aware of. Other times it's a fault we already were very aware of. Maybe you had no idea your shoes were squeaking all the way up to the pulpit. Or maybe you already knew it 10 times over. We're painfully aware of it. Sometimes truth is painful. That wouldn't be painful to me. But things like that hurt us. Things like that are hard for us to receive. And yet, David beautifully demonstrates receiving painful truth. Another reason it's so hard is because we've had some painful experiences, some bad experiences in the past with being swift to hear. We've opened our heart wide open to someone who was not safe to open it to. We've lacked discernment, and we've been burnt. That also makes it hard to be swift to hear. Maybe we've been hurt by some very rough messenger who really did not have the Spirit of God. Maybe we were in a situation where those who are over us were saying conflicting things. And it doesn't seem safe to be swift to hear anymore. The first time my fire alarm went off in my house, after I'd crawled back under the covers from putting wood in the stove, it scared me. But the next times it got irritating. It was truly a bad experience. There was no need for that alarm to go off. I could have put my earplugs in. When we have bad experiences, we tend to do that. We tend to just put our earplugs in and we forget about being swift to hear. Or we can get rid of the smoke detector, which is what I did. But in the spiritual, neither of those are good options. There are times we turn our ears off, yes, to something that is speaking falsehoods, absolutely. Sometimes there's conflicting direction coming to us. If the GPS and my written instructions conflict in their directions on how to get somewhere, I don't throw them both out. Comparing happens. Discernment happens. I make a phone call or two. Hear my heart. We need to be discerning. We need to search the scripture to see whether these things are so. But sometimes negative experiences in this area bring a skepticism beyond what is healthy in our hearts. They bring a skepticism to those whom God wants our hearts to be open to. Perhaps we've been involved in overhyped spiritual experiences that we found were not real, that we found were put on. Perhaps we've been involved in some groups that follow after something that is not real. Doesn't mean that we should close our heart to the Spirit of God. Perhaps we've been oversensitive in the past. Our conscience has been oversensitive and we've been kept awake at nights by things that shouldn't have kept awake. Doesn't mean we should close our ears to our conscience. And perhaps we've been hurt. It doesn't mean we should put in our earplugs. And another reason, as Abner mentioned, that it's hard to receive God's word and to be swift to hear is because often it comes through imperfect channels. Now, we can't use that excuse with the Bible. We can't use that excuse with the Holy Spirit. But we sure can with our brothers and sisters and with our authorities. David demonstrated a sensitivity to very unrefined messengers. I imagine Nathan was a very fairly refined man, I would imagine. I don't know. But when Shimei came, David was fleeing with his men. Absalom had took the throne, and he was fleeing for his life. And here comes Shimei, cursing him and throwing stones. His men wanted to kill him. Why should this dead dog curse the king? Let me take off his head. And David said, so let him curse. The Lord has sent him. The Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, why have you done it? For the Lord hath been in him. Now, I think we can safely conclude that the Lord had not sent Shimei to curse David. But David was willing to receive it if it had been God. Later we see that Shimei is strongly rebuked and put to death for these actions. Not in David's life, but in his son Solomon's life. David had promised not to do so, but Solomon killed him for these actions. But David did not mind the roughness. Shimei kept following, throwing dust and cursing and throwing stones. And David said, don't kill him. Perhaps it's God, in effect. If we had closer to that attitude, I think we would get close. I think the failures and the faults of the messengers of God that come to us would seem very, very petty compared to Shimei's approach. We do not follow men whose lives bear bad fruit. By their fruits ye shall know them. We do not open our ears wide open to men whose lives bear bad fruit. But this does not mean that such a man is unable to spot a sin in our lives and tell us about it, sometimes in a very unrefined way. And if he does, we should be swift to hear. David did not respond, though, the same way to Shimei as he did to Nathan. And I think that should be true for us. When the sinner reproves us, or when we hear that word from someone whose lives we don't know for sure, we don't need to write them off. We don't need to take off their head. But time will tell. Time shook out for Shimei. It proved what was going on there. And in the same way for things we hear. But in cases like Nathan, David heard instantly. His heart was wide open. I think the same way for us. When there are men whose lives we know, who maybe God has put over us, the hearing should be instant, should be swift and wide open. And in these other situations, hear, don't take off his head, but time will shake it out. And then there's sometimes we obviously know that it's not the will of God. And the last reason I have here that it's hard to be swift to hear is that we just think too highly of ourselves. We just think too highly of ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say to every man not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Be not high-minded," says also in Romans. And in Philippians 2:3, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." When we are high-minded, when we think highly of ourselves, being swift to hear becomes very difficult. Why? Because others should be hearing us. Because we've already been there and passed that point. Thinking too highly of oneself makes it very difficult to hear. Because the truth is sometimes hard to hear, we have Jehoiakim throwing those pages into the fire. We have Ahab returning to his house heavy and displeased. We have Balaam pushing on and getting his foot crushed and all kinds of miserable things because the truth is hard to hear. We see the Jews furiously stopping their ears and running upon Stephen and stoning him. The truth is hard to hear. These are our tendencies. We won't stone someone, but these are our fleshly tendencies. Instead of being swift to hear, we tend towards these things in a spiritual way sometimes. These are the way that the carnal man reacts, throwing the pages in the fire, heavy and displeased, pushing our own way even though we know better, like Balaam did. And lastly, like the Jews, stopping our ears, or like Ahab, surrounding ourselves with people who speak comfortably to us. It's easy to find those people if we want them. All right, lastly, things that help us to hear. Things that help us to be swift to hear. One is be rooted and grounded in Christ and His Word. Being rooted and grounded in Christ and His Word. This is good for all of us, but especially you young ones. The better you know the Word of God, the more it abides in your heart and you know what it says in its wholeness and its entirety, the less you're apt to be swayed about the way I was that evening. The less you're apt to be swayed by things that you ought not to be swift to hear. The higher your discernment will be, the quicker you'll be able to discern whether this is Nathan speaking to you or Shimei. The Word of God is very freely available to us. The Holy Spirit is very freely available to us to illuminate it to our hearts. Be rooted and grounded in the Word. With swiftness to hear, we need to be able to be swift to discern. And that comes with knowing the written Word of God. And it comes with abiding in Christ. Number two, things that help us to be swift to hear. Be strong in faith. Grow in faith. Faith enables us to hear what we can't hear otherwise. Faith enables us to see the path forward when we've heard the painful truth. Faith enables us when the Spirit of God or our conscience brings heavy conviction to our lives. Faith enables us to see that there's a way forward. That God, that the victory has been won, that the price has been paid. Faith takes that discouraging rebuke, and rather than returning to our house heavy and displeased, it sees that God is able to see us through. God is able to do what needs to be done. Faith allows us to respond to the work of the Spirit and maybe experience some godly sorrow that leads to repentance not to be repented of. Love the truth. Things to do that helps us be swift to hear. Love the truth. Seek after truth. Objective truth, which is unchanging truths in the Word of God. Jesus died for sinners. Very simple, but unchanging. Don't let anyone tell you He didn't. Jesus died for you. Seek after the truth. Love objective truth and love truth when it hurts. Why? Because of what it can do for you in your life. Because truth brings life. Jesus said, I am the way. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth sets us free. Jesus said that too. Truth shall make us free. So while truth can hurt, while truth can be ever so painful, truth is worth having. All of truth. And it's found in God. It's found in the Word. Love the truth. Be faithful in quiet time with God. One powerful way that God loves to speak to us, if we give Him the chance, is when we quiet our hearts before Him. I've missed out on that too much in the past. One way that God loves to speak us to us is when we take the time to quiet our hearts and pray and read and just tarry with Him and just tarry with Him. God can speak to us, and we should be swift to hear. Swiftness to hear includes making opportunities to hear. Be swift to hear. Quiet our hearts. Listen to God. Be faithful in quiet time with God. Cultivate lowliness of mind. If you want to be swift to hear, one way to get that to happen is cultivate a lowliness of mind. High-mindedness kills hearing. Low-mindedness makes it a much more natural thing for us to do. Philippians 2:3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When you truly esteem someone else better than yourself, you're open to hear them. You're open to receive counsel. The difference between the wise child and the foolish king, the foolish old king in Ecclesiastes, was what? The old king had shut his ears. He was no longer willing to hear. He was no longer swift to hear. The child, on another hand, is eager to learn, is eager to hear. Cultivate a lowly, childlike mind. We can do that. These are things that we can cultivate in our lives. Another one, let go of criticism and offenses. Suppose that David had let criticism and critical feelings rise in his heart toward Nathan previously. Perhaps for the way Nathan treated someone else or talked to someone else. Maybe he took up an offense for someone else. Would he have responded, I have sinned? And neither will we. Neither will we. Beware of critical thoughts and offenses towards those that God wants to speak to us through. It'll kill it. You can't be swift to hear. You cut the source. Let go of criticism, offenses. Cultivate close relationships with those who are over you in the Lord, with those who are around about you, and keep those relationships clear. You can be swift to hear when the relationship's clear. When David and Nathan had nothing between them that we know of, as Nathan came to him. And David could hear and Nathan could come. beware of a growing distance between yourself and the rest of the church. Almost always kills the hearing. Be swift to hear. And the last one is hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, that takes care of so much. If your pursuit of Christ and His kingdom, if your passion is pursuing Christ and His righteousness, if that is strong, your heart will be open to God's voice. Because it's the path to life. It's the path to righteousness. And you know what? When you're hungry, you don't care as much on what platter the meat comes. Or even so much how it looks. As long as it hits the spot. We need that spot. We need that hunger for us to be able to be swift to hear. Otherwise, we have a tendency to criticize the platter, criticize the seasoning, criticize whatever we want about God's word to us, and leave not having heard. It may be a message. It may be a revival meeting. It may be a personal reproof. It may be the Spirit of God witnessing to our heart. But if we're not hungry, we likely won't be swift to hear. So in closing, God still speaks on a regular basis to His children, to you and to me. He wants to. He speaks. The question is, are we listening? He speaks in many ways, in many circumstances, through many different channels. Learn to know His voice. Learn to know when it's God speaking and be swift to hear. Learn to say in whatever circumstance you're in, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Whether it be Nathan coming, whether it be the roll that Jeremiah wrote, whether it be the book that's been found, whether it be the burning bush, whether it be a reproof by Elijah. Learn to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Whenever it's God, be swift to hear. Let's pray. Father, we bow our heads to You now again. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You've spoken to each of our hearts through that word in so many different ways in the past, Father. And Lord, we all think back to times when we haven't been as swift to hear. And Father, I long to be swift to hear. I long that all of us would learn to be able to discern Your voice, to hear it, and to obey You. Father, send Your Spirit among us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, I pray for especially the young ones among us who are just starting on their journey of the Christian walk. Father, help them to get this thing of hearing. Lord, minister it deep into their hearts, Father. I pray that in the future when rough times come, when reproofs come, Lord, when difficult truths come their way, Father, help them to be swift to hear. Help them also to be discerning. Father, each one of us, Lord, we desire to hear Your voice. Father, we desire to hear it in the quiet. We pray that You would help us to steel our hearts faithfully, regularly before You. Father, we also desire to hear it through Your written word. Help us to be faithful in reading and studying and comprehending, Father. And help us to be faithful in hearing Your word as it comes to us through others. Father, help us to be swift to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.